On Tuesday and Wednesday, October 29th and 30th, the Compassionate Boldness Symposium Part 2 will be taking place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan beginning at 7 p.m. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will lay out the teachings of Mormonism and show the differences with biblical Christianity. Make plans to come on October 29th and 30th at Shadow Mountain Church, located at 9324 South Holly Park Road in West Jordan. That's Holly, H-A-W-L-E-Y. Come and be informed. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. As we try to do on this particular broadcast, is we take some of the emails that we have received from Latter-day Saints who certainly do disagree with us on some of the things that we've said, either on air or on our website, or perhaps in an article that they have read somewhere. And we try to tackle them. And so today, Eric, our first email comes from a guy by the name of Steve. Now, this might be a little boring because we've hit this before, but it keeps coming up, folks. And it's almost like this is a talking point that goes around the Mormon church. And the problem is they don't seem to readily understand what a bad argument this is because they draw an assumption that's really not there. And this is how this email goes. Steve says, how do you define the term bigot today? It used to include those who had little tolerance for people who had different beliefs. Bigots often overlook the good that people, and I think he meant to put the word do in there or something, that people do, and concentrate much time and effort exaggerating their differences. Well, first of all, let me just respond that if we were really exaggerating the differences, that automatically wouldn't define us as a bigot. It would define us as a liar, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we were really exaggerating the differences, that we were adding to our understanding of Mormonism things that really weren't true, either we're outright lying or we're building a straw man.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then certainly that should be the argument. Give us an example and show us how we have done that. And give us an opportunity to respond to that. So I think he even has a misunderstanding of what the word bigot actually means. He also says it used to include those who had little tolerance for people who had different beliefs. Now, I'm at a disadvantage here because I don't know how Steve is defining tolerance. And that's a big issue we have in our culture today, is because tolerance has become very intolerant. In fact, D.A. Carson wrote a book on this, and I would encourage Steve to get a copy of it called The Intolerance of Tolerance, where D.A. Carson actually shows that this whole tolerance movement is nothing but hugely hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because it all boils down to, in order for these people who like to talk about tolerance, which would include our friend Steve here, he has to be able to, first of all, tolerate us in our differences of opinion.
Well, that's a good point. And Greg Kokel brings this out in his book, Tactics. He deals with this issue specifically in talking about judgment. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And this idea, is he bigoted against people who are bigoted? I mean, it comes both ways. You can't have, well, you're the one who's bigoted because you disagree with Mormons.
Well, that would be righteous bigotry.
I guess.
And I guess that's another term we're going to have to include in our vocabulary. Are you a righteous bigot or an unrighteous bigot? And of course, now what determines a righteous bigot over an unrighteous bigot, I guess, apparently, is whoever has the most power behind them, who has the media supporting their view, they would be the righteous bigot.
Well, whoever is talking is the righteous bigot, because that's, in his opinion, he's the righteous one.
This is the typical example of a person trying to pigeonhole us, and merely, what is the sin that we've committed? What is the big sin that we've committed in Steve's eyes? we disagree with Mormonism. But Steve, we've admitted that ever since we've started doing this ministry back in 1979. I've been admitting that I disagree with Mormonism. And really, if that is my sin, then I plead guilty. But yet, if disagreement in and of itself is a sin, then you're guilty as well for writing us in the first place, expressing your disagreement with our disagreement. And if you're allowed to disagree without sin, who are you to say that I can't disagree without having sin?
It's a double-edged sword.
It does. And this is, folks, this is why we want to plead with you. Be very careful if you're going to throw out this word tolerance, because it's going to come back to bite you. It always does. Look, I disagree with Mormonism, but I love the Mormon people. I tolerate my Mormon. That's even a difficult phrase to use, because to tolerate something means that you don't like something about somebody, but you tend to put up with it. I like my neighbors, all right? I don't have to tolerate them. I like them. I disagree with Mormonism, and I put up with that. I'm not saying that I should take away by force their belief as a Mormon. We've never advocated that. And when we get Mormons that say, you don't believe in the First Amendment, do I even need to take time to respond to an email like that? Of course we believe in the First Amendment. They have every right to believe whatever they want, and I will defend them in doing just that. In fact, when I've done this publicly and Mormons have read that, they wonder if I'm cracking up or something. I've always said that. I've never not said that. So, Steve, you need to calm down, man, and you need to read carefully what we have to say, and hopefully you would not draw that conclusion. We admit we disagree with the beliefs of Mormonism. That's a no-brainer.
Boy, if Steve is listening by chance to this, have him call us, and we'll go out to lunch together, and let's discuss this over lunch. We've done that many times with people who disagree with us, and we can do it in a cordial way.
And let me also add, we don't overlook the good that the Mormons do. We've often said that Mormons are, for the most part, very good people. They try very hard. I mean, when there's a crisis or something like that, the Mormons are usually right there. I mean, that's commendable. We have never taken away from that. It just so happens, though, that we disagree with the doctrines of Mormonism. Now, we got another email, one among many, by a guy who keeps writing us named Charles. Now, if Charles is listening and wondering why I don't respond to all his myriad of emails, it's because I don't do that, Charles. When I respond and I don't get a satisfactory response from an individual, or they go on to another subject, or they seem to ignore what I've said, I just don't take a lot of time to keep writing them. And when you send me email after email after email, you can pretty much guarantee that I'm not going to respond to you, because one of the rules that we have at MRM is if you have a question, you're allowed to ask one question. Then I'm allowed the courtesy to ask you a question if need be. And if you don't respond to my question, I don't feel any responsibility to keep on going on with your spam. But anyway, Charles wrote, and he had a complaint about Eric, and since it was a complaint about Eric, I passed it on to Eric. So
yeah, and he said this: you have attempted to understand LDS doctrine on grace, but you have missed the point, and indeed there is a divide in your mind. This is what I said in conclusion to the article.
We should preface that this is in response to the series that we reran on the Brad Wilcox speech that was in the September issue of the Ensign. We decided to rerun that series, and so he's responding to our comments in that.
He says, we've said, in conclusion, the Mormon gospel is not synonymous with the gospel as described by the New Testament. While Wilcox doctors up the teaching of Mormonism, attempting to make Mormonism's grace look as biblical as possible, the difference still makes for a wide divide. And he writes, the Bible teaches repeatedly that we must repent and clean ourselves of our sins. Jesus taught that if one is not born of the water and of the Spirit, he or she cannot be saved in the kingdom of God.
Exactly. And there's the problem, Charles. We don't believe we can clean up our sins. That's the whole point. Well, thank you for confirming what we've always believed. See, this is what another thing that kind of irritates me is when Mormons write us saying we don't know what we're talking about, and then they defend what we've accused them of.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
And that just amazes me. We understand that perfectly, Charles. Now, go on.
This is stacking the deck is what he's trying to do. He's throwing out all these verses. So next verse he brings out is, Jesus said, be therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Hmm. Well, he learned well from reading The Miracle of Forgiveness, because Spencer Kimball did quote that several times.
But then listen to what he says. Next paragraph. The Bible also teaches that Christ died for our sins, the just for the unjust. Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Who disagrees with that here?
Yeah.
I mean, we agree with that. But what we disagree with Charles on is how he's interpreting Matthew 5, be therefore perfect. If Jesus is really discussing sinless perfection, I think your question is very appropriate, Eric. How is Charles doing at that? Yeah. If he really thinks that's what Jesus was asking of people, to be sinlessly perfect, then I have to assume that Charles has either accomplished this or is or at least somewhat close to accomplishing it.
And he goes on and he says, there is no other name under heaven through which we can be saved. Well, Philippians chapter 2, we believe that.
No problem.
All of the above is LDS doctrine, and all of that is in the Bible. In short, here's his conclusion. Number one, the grace of God is sufficient for us to be saved, because under grace we can exercise faith and repent of our sins. Two, we are commanded to become perfect as our Father in heaven. We can only do that by repenting of our sins. And three, by repenting, we are cleansed of our sins through the atonement of Christ.
Okay, so repenting in the Mormon vernacular is confessing and forsaking all your sins. If that's what they're supposed to do, my question is he doing this? Has he acted? Now, I have to mention, while we're recording this, Charles has not responded yet. We have not yet heard from him. He may respond between now and when this airs. And if so, maybe we can do a follow-up on that, Eric. But the point is yes, we understand how that works. But the definitions of repentance that bother us, if repentance is the complete abandonment of the sin, and you would admit to us, as I think you would, that includes all of your sins, that becomes a problem, because we don't know of any Mormon who's done that.
So he's throwing out all of this, talking about the grace, talking about repentance, talking about becoming perfect, and he doesn't really show how that all goes together, and here's his conclusion. Clearly the divide is only inside your mind because of all of the above is in the Bible. Therefore, LDS doctrine on grace is definitely biblical. I don't understand the logic here, that, and I'm not sure how he's disagreeing with what I had said earlier. There is a huge difference between what we're saying the biblical view on grace and works is versus what Mormonism teaches. And so I think he's going to prove the point here.
Unfortunately, he didn't convince us. Of course, he would probably be thinking we're not convincible. But still, this is just a sample of some of the email that we receive, folks. And
Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world. We hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.